Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we have a trivia question coming up in our next segment. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Deep Dive. Each of my guests will give us an in-depth look at his subject. My first guest is a sports writer who's written about one of the most enigmatic sports figures, Walter Payton. We'll discuss his latest book, Sweetness. My second guest is a former publisher of the Wall Street Journal and CEO of Dow Jones. We'll discuss his amazing career and the changing nature of business news reporting from his book, Newspaper Man. My third guest is the founder and president of a nonprofit organization which investigates the causes of extremism. He's interviewed more than 100 Islamic radicals, asking them probing questions about their inner lives, their deepest faith, and what was ultimately drove them to jihad. We'll discuss his findings contained in his book, Terrorists in Love, which opens up a real fresh window into the realm of violent extremisms. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jeff Perlman, is a columnist for SI.com. He has worked as a columnist for ESPN.com, a senior sports writer for Sports Illustrated, a feature writer for Newsday, and, interestingly, as the Nashville Tennessean's food and fashion writer. And if time permits, we'll ask him about that. His new book is titled Sweetness, The Enigmatic Life of Walter Payton, and it explores the days of the amazing, mysterious, and misunderstood football icon. Well, he's also the author of two other New York Times bestsellers, Boys Will Be Boys and The Bad Guys 1, as well as two books that were not New York Times bestsellers, Love Me, Hate Me, and The Rocket That Fell to Earth. Jeff lives in New York with his wife and his two children. He enjoys swallowing gum and watching his toes wiggle. Joining us from Chicago, hi Jeff, how are you doing today?
Good. I was thinking, what if I were a former Wall Street Journal editor and a jihadist? Then you wouldn't have any use for your other guests, and I could just do the whole show.
You could have a whole hour to yourself. Yeah, that would be very interesting. Now, you're not going to tell me you're a sports jihadist, are you, or anything like that? Nothing like
that. I'm just a Jewish guy with two kids trying to get by.
Trying to get by. Well, all right, fair enough. Now, some people, especially in Chicago where you are today, absolutely revere Walter Payton. You know, so why did you tackle the biography of a legend such as Payton?
Mainly two things. Number one is as a kid, I'm a big nostalgia guy. You know, if you ask me who's to name 10 guys on the Bears today, I probably couldn't do it. But I love looking back at sports, and that's sort of the nature of the books I've written, is I love nostalgia. And I grew up, you know, in New York, but with a Walter Payton poster on my wall, you know, and loved Walter Payton. I mean, as many kids did back then. And so when I was kind of looking for my next book to write about, I always think about, you want to write about icons. I mean, people are intrigued by icons, iconic figures and iconic teams. And, you know, it's increasingly hard to find them. A lot of guys, you know, from Lou Gehrig and Jesse Owens to Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, you know, across the board, there have been a million books done on these guys. And I just started thinking about Payton, and he was so mysterious, and he died young, and there's not that much was known about him. And I thought, here's a guy worthy, I think, of a deeper look into his life.
Well, and fair enough. Yeah, it's probably worth examining. But Walter Payton himself wrote his autobiography, Never Die Easy. You know, why not just let sleeping dogs lie?
Honestly, because I thought it was a pretty crappy book. I just didn't think it was a very good book. I mean, I thought it was touching and heartwarming and you know, life-affirming, but I didn't think it was a very sort of honest, sort of fulfilling portrayal. I mean, life is complicated and life is messy. And a lot of the way sort of I think we best judge someone isn't just by their high moments, but by their low moments and how they deal with genuine adversity. Not adversity like he has a sprained ankle, will he be able to play against the Chargers? But real true adversity. You know, your career's over, what do you do now? You know, your family life is not what you want it to be. How do you handle that? And I just think if we just keep up the mythology of athletic figures and all we do is sort of talk about, you know, this game against the Browns and that game against the Chiefs, I think we deny ourselves the opportunity to really learn about who a person was in full.
All right. My guest is Jeff Perlman. And Jeff, the thing that I found so interesting about Walter Payton was his ability to sort of cross over racial boundaries and ease racial tensions. I mean, here you are. You're a Jewish guy living in New York, but you've got a Walter Payton poster up in your bedroom as a kid. This is exemplified throughout Walter Payton's life, from early days playing in high school in Columbia, Mississippi, to his playing days when he was there in Chicago Bears in a very racially divided city of Chicago. So what was it about Walter Payton that drew together so many disparate groups of people?
You know, it's actually funny. I have a five-year-old son named Emmett, and my wife always says, he's a lover. He always says, Emmett, you're not a lover. I mean, you're a lover, you're not a fighter. And Walter Payton was a lover. You know, he was really a lover. He loved people. He loved energy. He loved interacting. He loved making you feel good. He just had this thing about him. And it's pretty amazing if you really think about it. I mean, the guy grew up in Mississippi in the 1950s and 60s. He went until, you know, we have Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. His particular school district doesn't desegregate until another 16 years. You know, he has every reason to be mad and distrustful and angry, you know, and it just wasn't in his nature. It really wasn't. He was taught by his parents sort of not judge and to be open-minded. And you know, his senior year of high school was the first desegregated school in Marion County, Mississippi. And he was a part of it. And he was a huge part of it because he was sort of, football was king. And, you know, he was the king of football. And I think for a lot of white people in Columbia at that time, there's a lot of skepticism about how this would work. There are a lot of people who didn't want desegregation. And I think when they saw that he was sort of the face of what blacks were, and that this kid, this good kid, this honest, decent, good kid who also could run the hell out of the football, I think they saw, all right, maybe we'll be okay.
Well, it's interesting. So in that way, you're saying Walter Payton really embodied integration of African Americans into mainstream American life?
I'll tell you what it is. I actually think, and I talked a lot about this sort of in research in the book, I think there's a genuine fear, if we're going to be honest about this, back in the time period of the parents of white girls and how black kids were going to treat those girls. I think it was irrational, it was racist, it was disgusting, and it was disturbing. But I think that was the number one fear, is you have these white parents with their pristine white girls, and you're going to have these sort of, you know, in their mind, these savages come in, and how is it going to work? And it's disgusting and disturbing, and they had this picture built up in their heads. And I talked to so many whites who agreed with this. And then when you see the reality of it, and here's Walter Payton, and he's a great kid, and he's a kid, if it were not for the color of his skin, who you'd want your daughter dating. And, oh, by the way, he happens to be an insanely gifted football player who's going to take your little crappy football program and make it amazing. You know, so I just think that really was big. It was so big and so influential back then.
My guest is Jeff Perlman. He's the author of the book Sweetness, The Enigmatic Life of Walter Payton. And Jeff, Walter's absolutely best known for his playing days with the Chicago Bears. He was a standout on the Bears team, despite all of the team's inner dysfunction there. What made Walter Payton's professional football career so remarkable, do you think?
Well, I think first and foremost, he was just gifted. You know, he was actually, I've been saying this and I really believe this, Payton was a perfect storm of two sort of athletic cliches, which is this. We have, there'll always be the guy who will be like, man, that guy's just gifted. You know, like Jamarcus Russell, when he was drafted by the Raiders. He was like, man, this guy is just gifted. But if only he could work hard. You know, if only he weren't so lazy. And then you have like a guy like some scrapper, you know, like Pokey Reese, I don't know, some infielder who like, you know, busts his butt and gets everything out of his ability, but just isn't that talented, or like a Wayne Corbett. And you'll be like, man, that guy is a scrapper. So you have, on the one hand, you have the perfect athletic specimen, the Jamarcus Russell. And then on the other hand, you have the scrappy guy like the Pokey Reese getting everything out of his ability. Walter Payton was both of those combined. He was the absolute athletic specimen. The guy could walk 300 yards on his hand.
Wow.
You know, guy could dunk a basketball from under a hoop at 5'9½". You know, he could hit a golf ball for miles. He used to, you know, he was just he was a statuesque figure, and he never lifted weights. But when he did lift weights, you know, it was insane. And yet at the same time, he was running on the banks of the Pearl River in Mississippi, running in the sand, you know, to build up his legs, running stadium steps. When he would take a handoff in practice, you know, the other running backs, they get the handoff, they do the run, they turn around, they jog back to the huddle. That guy would run 40 yards down the field every time just to finish off the play. I mean, he was the perfect combination of gifted athletic specimen and dogged workhorse.
Well, it's interesting, though, Jeff, because he came onto a Chicago Bears team, which was not exactly the best team. It certainly wasn't the team they became in 1985 when they won the Super Bowl championship. There was a lot of dysfunction, even among his fellow players on the offensive line and things like that. So talk to me about how his work, Walter Payton's work ethic, really helped to elevate the team and bring them to their pinnacle of success in 85.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you're right. When he came to the Bears, they were just garbage, and he had nothing around him. He never had a quarterback. You know, back then, the Bears philosophy literally was, we're not going to draft a quarterback. We'll get by with what we have, and we'll run Walter 35, 30, 40 times a game. And he took an absolute beating. You know, he was the Bears. And when the Bears would go 9-7 or 8-8, the reason they went 9-7, 8-8 was Walter Payton. You know, he carried those teams on his back. And I think for his career, you know, he certainly helped the Bears win the Super Bowl when they won in 85. I think also a big part of it was Mike Ditka coming along and changing the philosophy and saying, We're going to build people around you. We're going to get a Jim McMahon who can actually throw the ball. We're going to bring in a Willie Gault who can catch the ball. We're going to bring in offensive linemen who are actually competent linemen who can block, pass protect, and run block. So I think part of it was building around Walter Payton. And I think a big part of that success was adding pieces that he needed for years and years.
In what ways was the 1985 Super Bowl championship sort of the pinnacle of Walter Payton's career?
Well, I think he won, first and foremost. I mean, he never won, you know, and you know, all athletes at that level, from John Elway to Dan Marino to, you know, whoever, they're always haunted by the question, oh, this guy's great, but when's he going to win? You know, and I think for Payton, as far as sports goes, it certainly sealed his legacy as an all-time, not just a great, but also a guy who won.
All right. My guest is Jeff Pearlman, author of the book Sweetness, The Enigmatic Life of Walter Payton. And tell us something, Jeff, that maybe fans don't know about Walter Payton and the Bears.
I'll tell you something about Walter Payton, one of my favorite things. Like when you, I interviewed almost 200 people for this book, and I dug and I dug and I dug. And I found out one day, so at his funeral when he died, he was eulogized for his 45 wonderful years of life. And by his own family members, by his friends, the Chicago newspapers the next day, you know, New York Times, everything was 45. Walter Payton, 45, passed away. And he actually, when he was at Jackson State, where he went to college in Jackson, Mississippi, he desperately wanted to win the Heisman Trophy. And he had no chance whatsoever. But they mounted this really weak Heisman Trophy campaign. And he actually came up with the idea of making himself a year younger because he thought it would help his shot. So he actually changed. This was before ESPN, and every website had your date of birth and everything. This was kind of the dark ages of covering, especially that level of Division II football. And he changed his birth date, made himself a year younger. And he never changed it back. So he was actually 46 when he died, not 45. He was 43 when he retired, 34 when he retired, not 33. And I just find it fascinating that he was so enigmatic and so mysterious, people didn't even know how old he was.
Oh, that is great. That's an unknown fact. But, Jeff, looking at Walter Payton's life, it's almost as if there's a yin and a yang because his on-field success, his on-field life was so great. Off the field, Walter's life was, well, less glamorous and certainly no less sensational. Walter believed that his father died under very suspicious circumstances. He was separated from his wife, Connie. He fathered a child out of wedlock. And after retiring, he was depressed. He fell into a depression. I remember the image that is most vivid in my mind is his last game where he's ready to retire, and he's seen sitting on the bench by himself, head down. Now, in retrospect, you know, I wonder if that wasn't the beginning of the depression and so forth, but he's a very complex man. So how did you approach presenting a balanced approach to his on-field heroics versus his off-field travails?
Well, I mean, as a writer, the main thing is just to listen. And I was more fascinated. To me, when I approach a sports book, I mean, I don't even think of it as a sports book. I never think of these books as sports books. I think of them as biographies of people's lives in the same way someone would write a Kennedy biography or Malcolm X biography. And to me, the on-field exploits, while certainly important and certainly require parts of a sports a biography about an athletic figure, are the least interesting parts of his life. And to me, you know, I think one thing we don't talk about enough, and we really need to in sports, is sort of the impact of retirement on athletes. I'm not talking about, like, from brain injuries or, you know, physical beating. I'm talking about the emotional adjustment one has to go through from playing in front of 60,000 fans, from being this iconic figure, from having women hanging all over you, for getting everything for free, to just being this guy who used to be able to do something and they no longer can. And that was an incredibly, incredibly hard adjustment for Walter Payton, and a sad adjustment for Walter Payton. But he was no longer this magician, this running back, this god. He was just a guy telling stories about what he used to do. And I think so many athletes go through that. And to me, it was a very profound part of his life and something I really wanted to explore.
My guest is Jeff Perlman. Jeff, what does Walter Payton's family think of your book, Sweetness?
I haven't heard from them. They've been very respectful about it. So I don't, you know, I'm sure they're not thrilled. I mean, there was a certain image out there that, you know, they kind of portrayed of, and presented of Walter Payton that isn't fully sort of backed by the book. But I think they know it's true. So I don't really, you know, know what else to say about it.
All right. Fair enough. My guest is Jeff Perlman, author of the book Sweetness. Jeff, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Sweetness?
Well, more than anything, I think I want them to have a full appreciation for a really complex man. And, again, I hate the portrait that had been painted of Walter Payton through the years, which is great football player and prankster. And that was it. But there was so much more to him. And he was so unique and so beloved. And he was so good with fans. Uniquely good with fans. The outreach he had to the people of Chicago was tremendous. Even in his darkest days, even when he was near death, he was giving and giving and giving to the people of Chicago. I think if you read the book, you'll really come to understand a fascinating, complex, multi-layered human being, and not just a football player.
My guest has been Jeff Perlman, author of the book Sweetness, The Enigmatic Life of Walter Payton. Jeff, if you've piqued some listeners' interest, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
My website is jeffperlman.com. You can follow me on Twitter, too, at jeffperlman.
jeffperlman.com. Jeff, it has been great. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.